Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. If you're in Toronto this weekend, get your collective ass down to Festival Street, that's King from between University and Spadina, to celebrate TIFF's 50th anniversary. Even if you can't afford the tickets, there's tons to see and do for free. They're giving out loads of stuff like Italian beer, cold brew, coffee, Korean noodles, even free mouthwash. Why mouthwash? Why any of this? They're promotions, but they're all free. Free outdoor movies as well each night in Pico Square. And if you're into celebs, you might just see stars like Scarlett Johansson, Mia Goth, Keanu Reeves, and Jodie Foster, to name just a few expected to show up. So this week, I'm looking at three new road movies, two opening at TIFF. There are European ravers in the Sahara Desert, 50 kids in a dystopian America on a walkathon for their lives, and two Toronto musicians time traveling on Queen Street West. Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, co-written and directed by Matt Johnson. It's about 17 years ago in downtown Toronto. Aspiring musicians Matt Johnson and Jay McCarroll, played by themselves, are composing music and planning elaborate schemes to get invited to play on the stage at the Rivoli on Queen Street. But so far, no luck. The band is called Nirvana, but with an extra N. They sound more Broadway than grunge. They live in a Toronto row house with a trailer home parked behind. Fast forward a few decades, and Matt and Jay are still trying to get booked at the Rivoli for the first time. Matt's latest scheme? To jump off the top of the CN Tower with parachutes and land inside the Sky Dome in the middle of a Blue Jays game. That should get enough attention to get them booked at the Rivoli, right? But as Matt's ridiculous schemes get even more outlandish and dangerous, Jay becomes increasingly frustrated. And when they somehow manage to travel back in time, a la Back to the Future, this changing history and messing everything up, their band stands for, and they might cease to exist in human form. Can the two of them get back together in time to save the band and their own lives? Nirvana, the short title, is an uproariously funny pseudo-documentary done in the style of Borat, but more gently Canadian. I absolutely love Matt Johnson with his cringy sense of humor, always lightly dipped in horror and disaster. I'm not familiar with Jay McCarroll, but he's an excellent musician and the perfect foil for Matt Johnson's grandstanding ineptitude. The time travel is accomplished because they've been filming the series for almost 20 years now, and so they have the old footage and the present-day footage. As for the special effects, I'm still not quite sure if they actually jumped off the CN Tower or not, but it sure looks like they did. Breaking news, I literally just spoke with the filmmakers about an hour ago. Matt says it's all real. Jay says it's all fake. Either way, Nirvana now stands beside Scott Pilgrim as the most Toronto-y movie of the century. The Long Walk, directed by Francis Lawrence. It's the Corn Belt in a dystopian future United States. The country is a military dictatorship, and the people there live in poverty. 50 young men, one from each state, have signed up for an annual race. The winner gets a huge cash prize as well as any dream he wishes to fulfill. His triumph will add to a sense of home, of hope and pride for the country's citizens, or so says the contest organizer, known as the Major Who Barks at the Boys, played by an unrecognizable Mark Hamill. One competitor, Ray, played by Cooper Hoffman, introduces himself to other players and quickly makes friends with Pete, played by David Johnson. They soon add Art Baker from Louisiana, played by Tut Nyot, who wants to win the money, and Hank Olson, played by Ben Wang, a nerdy-looking guy with a wise-cracking urban accent. They call themselves the Four Musketeers and vow to look out for each other. Some of the racers keep to themselves. Barkovich, played by Charlie Plummer, a rabble-rousing misanthrope, hurls discouraging insults at his competitors. Collie, played by Joshua Ojik, is an indigenous man who walks to the beat of a different drum. And an ultra-fit athlete, played by Garrett Waring, is so sure of his own victory he doesn't even bother to respond to anyone else. Problem is, there can be only one winner. And the 49 losers, they will all be dead. You see, this is a race to the death, and anyone who lags behind the requisite 3 miles an hour is summarily executed by soldiers and tanks rolling by with machine guns beside the walkers. If anyone lags in their walk 3 times, including drinking, tying your shoes, or even sleeping, they die. Who will survive this grueling competition? The Long Walk is a dark dystopian road movie about male bonding, friendship, and resistance to an autocratic state. It's shot in a sort of a homey, rustic, sepia tones in marked contrast to its horrific theme. It's based on a story by Stephen King and directed by Francis Lawrence, who brought us the Hunger Games movies. While it doesn't hold back on violence, blood, guts, and despair, at least it keeps alive some feeling of hope throughout. The Long Walk is totally watchable. The acting is great, and I like the characters, but maybe because of the story's inevitability, it never really grabbed me. This could have been a deeply moving tearjerker, but instead, it's just a gruesome race with a wee bit of political consciousness. Surratt, directed by Oliver Lacks. It's a red sandstone skyline somewhere in Northeast Africa. A huge wall of speakers is spewing heavy drum and bass rhythms out of a wall of speakers with hundreds of semi-nude dancers throbbing in the crowd. It's a European rave attracting people who look like they've been moving to the music since the 1990s. Totally out of place, there are a middle-aged Spanish man named Luis, played by Sergi Lopez, and his young son Esteban, played by Bruno Nunez Arjona. They're handing out little leaflets to everyone they see from about their missing daughter slash sister. She's also a racer but hasn't been seen in years. Suddenly, the music stops, soldiers march in, and one of them starts shouting through a megaphone, "The area must be evacuated immediately, with all Europeans following the military back to safety." So with much grumbling, the dancers pile into makeshift school buses to move out of the area, until suddenly two of the vehicles, an ATV and a military transport truck, veer off the track and head in the opposite direction. They're going towards a legendary rave near Mauritania. So in a split second decision, Luis and Esteban decide to follow them in their urban SUV as their best chance of finding the missing girl. The crusty ravers don't want them to follow, but agree to let them tag along. And a ragtag bunch they are, with weathered features, pierces and tattoos, peg legs and missing limbs. They speak French, Spanish, and English, but they also have a wicked sense of humor and an overriding communal spirit. What no one seems to realize, though, is they're driving headfirst into the impossible terrain of the Western Sahara Desert in the middle of a revolutionary war. Surratt is a fatalistic, fantastic, nihilistic road movie that combines elements of Mad Max, Nomadland, and Waiting for Godot. It takes you on the twists and turns of disaster, keeping you on your toes all the way. I'm not revealing any more of the plot, but suffice it to say, it thumbs its nose at traditional Hollywood narratives. The acting seems very close to documentary style, and apart from Lopez as Luis, the cast seems to be non-actors basically playing themselves. They all use their real names. So if you can stand the shock, you must see Surratt. Surratt and Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, are both premiering at TIFF right now, and The Long Walk opens across Canada on September 12th. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.